Welcome to Fables of the Force,
a Star Wars rewatch podcast.
I'm Scott.
I'm Matt.
And this is our show.
Welcome everyone to our 130th episode, where we will be discussing part two, The Siege of Mandalore, The Phantom Apprentice. This episode aired originally as the 10th episode of season 7. We are right where we left off. The 332nd's new captain lasted all of a day, Rip Vaughn. And now Ahsoka has found her quarry, but she's kind of on the wrong side of a trap.
Yeah, most definitely. Before we get too far into the episode, obviously, once again, no moral, and no Yularen. Yularen set up the movie at the beginning of the first episode, and now we're going into Act Two.
Yeah, once again, to reinforce the idea that this is not the same thing you've seen in every episode. Whilst it still is sort of an arc, and it's in four pieces, it definitely functions as one story.
For sure. When I think of The Phantom Apprentice, my first thought is
Attack of the Clones.
Yes, The Phantom Menace, right?
Oh, right, that's what I meant.
And we think The Phantom Menace is Maul. Because Maul is this Phantom Menace, the Sith. You could say that The Phantom Menace is Palpatine, sure enough, right? But Maul is the Phantom Apprentice. He's the fake apprentice. He's not Sidious's real long-term apprentice. Anakin is the Phantom Menace. He's the hidden menace. And they find Anakin on the Phantom in the Phantom Menace. And who is the Phantom Menace? You wouldn't think it was Anakin, but really, you do think it's Anakin.
Because he kind of is.
He's Darth Vader. They have the shadow of Darth Vader on the
poster.
You know, but yeah, when I think
it's sort of like poetry. It rhymes.
Yeah. The Phantom Menace, that title is so multi-layered because there are so many Phantom Menaces in the story.
Truly.
But we're dealing now as if Anakin was the Phantom Menace, and we are dealing with the Phantom Apprentice, Maul.
Absolutely. It's an apt title because he basically died. He is sort of a phantom, and he acts like a phantom. Even it's so funny too, because, you know, he was a phantom before Palpatine found him and kicked his butt.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as he got, you know, rescued, he went back to being a phantom and did the same stuff again.
And you know who else is sort of a phantom apprentice in the sense that they were an apprentice that are apprentice no longer?
Ahsoka.
Yeah, exactly. So I love this title, and I think it's rich.
I like how I'm pretty sure Maul could have killed Ahsoka here. I mean, he has her in a confluence on four sides. She has three of those sides are Mandalorians armed with weapons, and on the other side is Maul. And there's no way out except through all those blasters and swords. I feel like Maul probably could have killed her here if he'd wanted to, but he also wants to know why she came.
And how she can be used to further his actual means in finding Skywalker.
He's much like Obi-Wan in that way. Whereas Anakin likes to just charge forward into things, Maul thinks things through.
Yeah, he was trained by Sidious, right? He wants to have a plan. I think you're right. However, he's not given that much opportunity to do that because the clones show up and
Rex
deal
to the
with
rescue.
Yeah, Rex to the rescue, and they're able to kind of deal with Gar Saxon and Rook Cast and the Mandalorians. And in that moment, I found it interesting. Maul actually does attack Ahsoka out of surprise.
Yeah.
He's the one, like, when that all happens, he draws his lightsaber and attacks Ahsoka as if to sort of check and see, like, are you even worth my time?
Right.
And, you know, Ahsoka defeats Maul. And so we realize that she is a worthy opponent. And I think that's all the more reason he wants to learn more about her because of that quick assessment.
Yeah, I think he sees that there is potentially some use yet to be had in Ahsoka Tano. But he just needs to get some intel.
Maul is formidable in every way, and Ahsoka, in this episode and the next, outdoes him at every step. She is quick-witted, sharp-tongued, confident, physically a total badass. I love their witty repartee, Maul and Ahsoka. I'm sure we have some mutual friends. I wouldn't put it that way. how about you surrender and let's go ask him together? Like, I just love Ahsoka.
She has a calm confidence. Yeah, that's nice.
And later, you're lucky Anakin didn't show up.
Oh my God, don't get me started.
Seriously.
Oh, she does it with the council too. She walks in and the council's talking. She sees through all the BS right away. When Obi-Wan kind of takes her aside to talk to her, and mm-hmm. he's like sort of confiding in her like, hey, man, I know we're not on the best of terms right now, but mm-hmm. Anakin could really use your help. And I think that there's some stuff between the two of them that prevents her from being able to go do that,
yeah.
including the things that are happening right now. But I think there's a little more there.
I think they have a really weighted conversation.
Yeah.
And it starts with us learning when Obi-Wan tells Ahsoka that Anakin killed Dooku. When this conversation starts, again, credit to the animation, Obi-Wan is like standing with his hood over his head, with his arms crossed and his head sagging,
yeah.
like deeply troubled.
Right.
And yes, he frames it sort of in his speaking on behalf of the Republic way when he says, Anakin killed our one tie that
right.
we know of to Darth Sidious, because that's how Obi-Wan knows of Darth Sidious, because of Count Dooku. But it's clear that's not what's troubling him.
Right.
It's clear that I think, and when he tells Anakin, when he says Anakin kills Dooku, he looks right at Ahsoka.
Right. To potentially see her reaction.
And then the camera cuts right to Ahsoka too.
Yeah.
And this also casts a new light on Obi-Wan advising Ahsoka to capture Maul instead of killing him. In the last episode, Obi-Wan tells Ahsoka that Maul is hard to kill, best to capture him. In that moment, I think Obi-Wan is trying to mostly, in that case, save Ahsoka's soul and place in the Force. I think he knows that if Ahsoka kills Maul, that's something that's rough.
He's faced Maul so many times and been there when Maul and his brother have killed other Jedi, so he knows what it looks like to fight these guys.
Yeah, and Obi-Wan knows that Maul isn't going to not kill Ahsoka for some reason.
Right.
Obi-Wan knows Maul's brutality, if anyone does. But I think he doesn't want Ahsoka to kill Maul. And when we then hear the next day that Anakin has killed Dooku, and he's looking all sullen and morose over there, that he has this feeling that Anakin's turning to the dark side, because that's what happens when you murder people.
Right.
But also, in that same moment, it casts a new light on Obi-Wan asking that, because now Maul, by being captured, becomes an asset to the Republic as somebody who knows about a larger plot with the dark side. Again,
the only other Sith they know of, for sure.
Just sort of muddying what I originally thought was Obi-Wan's honest concern for Ahsoka now becomes serving to a larger purpose. And I think that's just a indicative thematic element of this arc, which is that nothing is clear. This is the fall. We are in the middle of the fall in the same way that Ahsoka is in the middle of the fall when they're going down to the platform, and when in the final episode they take down the Star Destroyer, basically. Like, they're in fall. It's too late.
Yeah, it's already happened.
Yeah, and we get to that here in a couple of scenes. And I will say that, to your point, Ahsoka has the same response as we all did in the theater when we watched episode 3, when Obi-Wan reveals that they sent Anakin to spy on the Chancellor. And Ahsoka's like, basically, that's not a good idea.
That's not going to go over very well.
He sees him as a mentor and a leader.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, the Jedi are so blind, and they think that they're such the good guys,
right,
that wouldn't be perceived as you're sending him in there to spy against somebody who is a mentor and leader to him, because the Jedi think they can do no wrong, and that by doing this, Anakin's going to totally understand their
Anakin
side
has
of
a relationship with the Chancellor.
Well, he shouldn't.
This is
anyway.
Perfect. This is perfect in for the Jedi to, you know, learn information. Yeah, it's. I do like Obi-Wan's apology of sorts to Ahsoka here, because
mm-hmm.
this is one of the last times that we know of them speaking to each other,
yeah.
right? And he's sort of like, to me, it came across, I'm 41. So like when he said this, the beautiful voice acting here of James Arnold Taylor, it sounds to me when Obi-Wan tells Ahsoka, like, you know, the council isn't always right, Ahsoka. Sometimes they make mistakes. It kind of sounds like this sort of long-suffering dad talk to someone young, you know, a teenager, mm-hmm. long-suffering, sort of almost at the end of his wits with it, like, look, I don't hate you, but you've got to grow up and understand stuff isn't the way you think it is, kind of a... Mm-hmm. He also doesn't have the emotional capacity or time to deal with where Ahsoka is in her journey either. So sort of this, like, not impatient, but like exasperation, I think, with Obi-Wan, where he's just sort of like exhausted.
And the war and his apprentice all of seems it, to be everything. Going south.
Yeah, exactly. All these things are happening. He's just like... He's not going to come and say, like, Ahsoka, I'm so sorry. But he's like, Ahsoka, sometimes they're wrong, okay? Sometimes they're wrong. This is real life.
Yeah, and I see this sort of from Ahsoka's side of things, and it's very much more so Obi-Wan has the balls to ask Ahsoka to soothe Anakin's distrust in the council, as if she would act on their behalf, because this is a bad idea. The entire Star Wars audience saw it. Ahsoka sees it instantly. And yes, Obi-Wan admits the council isn't right. But
I think this is the one time he's seeing outside of the Jedi. Like, this is, you're talking about before him being like not acting from a, speaking from a personal place.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the one time that he does do that. And he says it, not because he thinks Ahsoka should defend the council, but that Anakin needs Ahsoka, and she's like really the only thing that could help right now, and I think Obi-Wan knows that.
And you're right. I think when he says the council isn't always right, I think, yeah, and this is a perfect example of them not being right.
Right, exactly.
One, you asking me. Two, you asking Anakin.
Right.
Three, you exiling me. Like, that's already three instances of wrongdoing removed. Like,
yeah. And that's why I think she can't see past what she, like, her reaction to that is very defensive, and it should be. She's not wrong.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, is I don't think he was asking on behalf of the Republic. I don't think he was asking on behalf of the Jedi Council. He was asking on behalf of Obi-Wan Kenobi, friend to Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah. And also, I think he, as a father figure sort of figure in many ways, is like, hey, I know we were wrong. He obviously doesn't say, I'm sorry, I didn't stick up for you more, but
right.
He does take responsibility in a way to say that I'm a member of the council and the council's not always right.
Yeah.
And we know that Obi-Wan didn't vote to push us
right.
out. So here's something I want your opinion on, and this is not to put you on the spot. Ahsoka says, tell Anakin. And Obi-Wan says, I will. There's been many times when Ahsoka has something else to say. More to say. Have you? Says Yoda in the next episode. She kind of reaches out to Anakin and then, good luck. Right? This is the time where she was going to say something and Obi-Wan says, I will. I'll tell him. And Ahsoka doesn't stop and say, no, tell him this. I don't want whatever you're thinking. Like, she must have the certain confidence that he is going to relay her message to him and that she's fine with whatever he's going to say. What could have been said?
I think that she in some way was trying to convey the message to Anakin that it's not his fault that she left, and that... I mean, I don't know how she would have worded it necessarily, but I think the intention was to try to absolve Anakin of what happened. I think that's what she would want to say to Anakin.
Yeah.
What do you think?
She doesn't know at this point that Maul is after Skywalker.
Right. She has no idea.
She isn't into that plot yet.
But she's also going up against the Sith Lord, so like...
Yeah, I think... Just some, hey, I'm not going to do this. I think Ahsoka is like, yeah, I'm not going to go help the council make Anakin feel good about betraying Palpatine. But I think it's some semblance, some sentiment to the idea of, I'm not helping you, but may the force be with you. Like, I'm sorry and I'm with you. Tell Anakin I'm sorry, I'm not going to help him, but yeah, that I care about him or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. But again, just so much is unable to be said by Ahsoka. Again, tragic.
Changing tracks over to Maul a little bit here. I think it's fascinating that the last time, you know, in the Clone Wars when we saw Maul was when he was with his brother Savage and they were trying to wrangle the underworld into a syndicate and take over all the syndicates, essentially a big cartel. And he got found out by Sidious. He got too big, too noticeable. Mm-hmm. Sidious sensed him and he came and he killed his brother and kicked Maul's butt and imprisoned him. Mm-hmm. And then in the comics, we know Gar Saxon and Rook rescued him from the prison he was being held in, and then presumably he went right back to what he was doing before.
Yeah.
Right back to building up the criminal underworld. This time seemingly a little bit more from the shadows so as not to draw too much attention, which was probably pretty smart. But I do think it's of note to think that we talked in the last episode about how Ahsoka points out that Anakin and Obi-Wan haven't changed much and how she sort of had her perceptions and perspectives had shifted due to some new experiences. Maul is another character that doesn't really change much. He keeps trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, and he thinks he can do it because he's so strong. Maybe he thinks he deserves it or has some sort of inherent right to mm-hmm. it. Maybe it's a Sith thing. I don't know.
It was his, like, he was going to be at the right hand of the galaxy. He's
yeah, the
going
new
to rule
leader
the,
of the right.
galaxy at the hand of Sidious.
Yeah, so there's some entitlement there, I think, with yeah. him. And then, of course, I think he feels a lot like Anakin in a way, too, you know, this sort of unaccepted, sort of rejected, mm-hmm. sort of, you know, lied
to prove.
Manipulated. Yeah, exactly, which is very interesting in your villain to have that kind of a thing.
Yeah. Here we see Maul reveling in awe at Palpatine's grand design as it sort of plays out before him. He doesn't know all the pieces, but we know he's had a vision at this point. But again, he's seeing it in how he can exploit it for himself. He says he's going to thrive in the chaos that is to come.
You can really see, too, how kind of jumping ahead into things like The Mandalorian, right? Where we talk about the way.
Yeah.
This is the way. The children of the Watch, right? These people came from what we're seeing here, Death Watch.
Mm-hmm.
The Mandalorians who followed Maul, right? Mm-hmm. He has so many great quotes here, but you can really see kind of how, like, why the children of the Watch are so dramatic. You think about the armorer in the Mandalorian, mm-hmm. the way that she speaks, kind of in this old cadence and uses all these kind of old phrasing. Yeah, but you can see that. Listen to Maul rile up the Mandalorians before they are about to go into battle against the Republic and Bo-Katan's forces.
Mm-hmm.
They're all ready to die for him. He's so dramatic and so articulate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you will die, then you will die as warriors. You know,
yeah,
and they're just
gets,
like, yay,
this
dying.
Speech.
Yeah, absolutely. He has so many great, great things to say in this one.
A little bit later, I like what you were talking about, the armor and so on, but Maul says to Bo-Katan, and I think it speaks to how militaristic and traditional and self-serving that Night Watch and by extension a lot of the Mandalorian culture. But I think Maul gets that when he says to Bo, is that any way to treat your rightful ruler? And we already see Bo-Katan thinking like this, the way is BS. Because that's kind of the way Maul thought. Hey, just because that's our culture, you can't just turn that against us. Just because you beat Pre Vizsla doesn't mean that you're our leader, even though that's what literally all of the rules say. That
right.
is the way.
Right.
Based on the way,
mm-hmm.
Maul's the Mandalore.
Yes, currently.
And Bo-Katan is like, no, I want the power. Mm-hmm. She's sort of selfish in her own right.
Yeah, she's not a hero here.
Right. But I think it's interesting that like this literal confrontation is still playing out in Star Wars fiction, and we don't even know at this point in 2022 how that all comes to pass with Bo-Katan, et cetera.
I I absolutely love the sequence. You referenced it last episode where Bo came running into the throne room and she takes out a bunch of Mandalorians on her way to Almec, kicks his butt, and it's all good gravy, no problem. Same sequence. They come bursting into the throne room, except for this time, Maul's sitting on the throne unexpectedly. They walk in and he's there waiting for them. And so what does Bo do? She charges right at him because she's crazy and awesome. Mm-hmm. And what does he do? He bends most of her blaster bolts out of the way. Doesn't have to get up. He just sits there and bends them out of the way and then grabs her and flings her across the room with the force like she's nothing.
Yeah.
After we watched how effective of a warrior she is, we see what she looks like against someone like Darth
Rendered
Maul.
Rendered useless.
Completely
yeah.
useless. So then stuff happens. Now it's just Maul and Ahsoka, and we get some more fantastic conversations. We get Maul reaching out to Ahsoka, extending a hand, saying every decision, everything that's ever happened has all brought you to this moment. Together, we can take down Sidious.
Yeah.
We can do it. And she thinks about it. For a little while.
Yeah, to the point where she damn near agrees to it.
She was going to agree. She says, I'll do it, but let me ask you a question.
Yeah, first. Maul makes a good pitch. He says, we're the same, you and I. Tools that were cast aside, that were meant for a certain purpose, but, you know, again, were cast aside. Especially because we know Maul just gave a seemingly genuine but disingenuous, like, rally speech to the Mandalorians.
He fully planned to leave Dai.
Yeah. I don't truly think that Maul thinks he could take on Sidious with Ahsoka.
No, he'd probably use her as fodder or as some sort of distraction.
Definitely make a power play and be stronger with Ahsoka and have an apprentice and be in a position of power. And
same
that
thing
kind
as
of,
he was doing last time.
Exactly, right? So he does want that. I like that Maul has this like sort of grand idea that he's pitching, but even I don't think he believes that that's a reality. I think he has power to attain and that Ahsoka would help, but like...
Sure. Well, and...
And he's trying to pitch Ahsoka. He's trying to get her on board.
Right. That's so it's a lot easier than fighting her. He's not stupid.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot easier just to have her join you than it would be to fight her. Because then think about what you could do with your current situation. Yeah. It'd be way better, right?
While she's about to join him, which I don't know if she would or not. It's hard to tell.
I want to speak to that real quick, actually, because I think later in the episode, which I don't want to like jump too far to it, but later in the episode, she says something that I think is telling for this moment. Because while she does say, yes, I'll join you, but let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Later in the episode, he says, you know, last chance, join me, blah, blah, blah. Like, we could take him down. And she's like, only for you to take his place?
Yeah.
Like, she knows. There was never an issue where she didn't think that's what was going to happen. So I think she was well within her own cognizance to say like, okay, I'll help you.
Yeah.
She wasn't stupid. She knew what that meant.
I think you're right. But Ahsoka says, I need one thing. And Maul says, you need only but ask. And Ahsoka asks what he wants with Skywalker.
The million-dollar question right here.
And Maul says that Skywalker is meant to destroy.
He's the keystone. Yeah, he's the linchpin. He's the harbinger.
The apprentice of Darth Sidious, and he's long been groomed for this role. And that just doesn't make sense to Ahsoka. She refuses to believe it. We say that she has this better idea. She has no idea that Anakin's going to turn. And I think we also see that from Ahsoka's perspective, Anakin is always very good facing towards Ahsoka.
Well, I don't know. She's seen him do all kinds of things though too. So I think there's a part of her that whilst she can't bring herself to believe or admit to it,
she says
there's a part of her that knows.
She says your vision is flawed.
Yeah.
And fights it. And then,
oh yeah, she does. Absolute rejection.
Later doesn't, you know, and it's the next episode, doesn't tell the council
right, exactly.
about it because mm-hmm. she doesn't believe it's that credible and isn't worth the time necessarily right now. Even though it's like maybe the last chance.
I think there's more to that too, but we'll speak to that in the next episode as well.
Yeah, yeah.
As you know, if you know Maul well, Kenobi, like his desire for vengeance against Obi-Wan Kenobi runs deep. It's one of the things that kept him alive after he should have died, right? Mm-hmm. Big deal to him. Top priority, kill Kenobi, right? On his list of to-dos for every day, mm-hmm. kill Kenobi's at the top. Never gets to cross it off. Well, here, he was so certain about Anakin being as important as he is, just from his visions, and not knowing what the actual plan was, but knowing that Anakin would be groomed to become the new apprentice for Sidious, that he set up this whole long thing, right, with Kenobi just as the icing on the cake, not even as the real point. The point was to get to Anakin.
Yeah.
That is how much he believes in what he saw in his visions. And I think that assuredness, that like focus, rattles Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. Because when he tells it to her, he doesn't lie to her.
Yeah.
He never lies to her. Not really.
And the way he's saying it is like
offhand.
Explanatory.
Yeah. He's just like,
he's meant to destroy.
You know that he's like a bad guy, right? Like, how don't you see it?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. So yeah, I think that she's shocked by that. I don't think she can bring herself to admit it, but I do think there's a part of her that knows. That knows that that's a real possibility. And having it put into words is so incredibly shocking and horrifying, especially because there's a probably a little part of her that goes, yeah, that makes sense.
And it's all kind of blowing up in front of her face because Maul says to Ahsoka, what, save the Republic? Like, it's already too late. It's already fallen.
Already
you
gone.
Just haven't even seen it.
Yeah.
And like, Ahsoka, she doesn't. She doesn't realize that the whole Republic is about to fall. They fight. It's amazing.
We know that they brought in Ray Park. One of the greatest fight sequences ever.
We know that they brought in Ray Park to do some of the choreography
the
for
mo-cap.
Darth Maul. Mm-hmm. It looks like it.
Lauren Mary Hill.
This is definitely a stylistic sequel to the Obi-Wan Qui-Gon Maul fight, in my opinion.
Phantom Menace?
Yeah.
It's a brilliant piece of choreography. It's such a good fight in every potential way. It's so beautiful. If you've ever watched Rey fight, like, you can see Rey in Maul's animation, which is such a cool... Oh, it's so incredibly cool.
Yeah.
What a beautiful fight sequence. And it goes on and on because you get the first part, you know, and like, you're lucky Anakin isn't here, and like all the fun. She throws him out the window, and then like they get up in the upper structures and she's still chasing him down, and he's just like, oh my God, still? And they fight on the beams, and it's like... How freaking cool. The way it ends is brilliant and also chilling and horrifying with Maul screaming, let me die. We're all going
to
burn.
You're all going
you're
to
all
burn.
You're all going to burn. Like, oh, that's great.
And you know what? He is 100% right.
Yep.
And when we talk about all the clones are going to burn and they're all going to die, well, we'll discuss that in our next episode. We hope you've enjoyed what is to be enjoyed in these episodes as well, as much as we have.
Thank goodness for the action, right?
Yeah. This beautiful story of hope is going to reach its middle, and we're going to finish it up in our next episodes. We hope you'll join us. Find us at Force Fables on Twitter, at Fables of the Force, or Google Fables of the Force. Find us, talk to us. We're here, we're there. Until then, I'm Scott.
I'm Matt.
And may the Force be with you.